right then, big boy Benny. You had one job, and that was to drive around the streets of fucking London and play Watch Dogs Legion and tell us your thoughts on it for the bloody cross players. All right, not hard, was it? So, how'd you get on?
And after a while, I got this weird notification that it suddenly was not compatible with the Series X, and I needed to go back and play it on the One X. And I think if I look back on the timing, I think it was about the time when they discovered that bug that was, I think, that, what was it, Ryan? Like some sort of save or something that was happening. So I think
there was a save crashing bug, but there was also lots of bugs with the post launch version of the game, and I think that they kind of corrected that. Some of those in the day one patch, but then there was another big patch after that to fix a lot of problems with the game. And that's probably the one you're referring to, where it's, because I remember you telling me it was the exact same day that patch went out that you had the problem with it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was unexpected because it didn't work at first, and then it suddenly showed up and I could jump in and play it, but it was basically the same version. Like some games when they're optimized for Series X, like you notice a huge, huge difference. But it was basically the same, to be honest, in the state that I was playing, which is very early on. Like, there's been a lot of patches coming to the Series X since I've got it. So it wasn't really indicative other than some load time differences. But I didn't get a chance to really do too much side by side. So I don't really have the best kind of like hands on experience with Watch Dogs on Series X at the moment, especially as we see like what's coming, like some of the ray tracing stuff that's coming on PC. It's like, I can't wait to see what this thing is going to look like.
It does feel like it should be a next gen, or if we can call it next gen. It feels like a Series X or a PS5 game,
right? Like as ambitious as it is, yeah.
And when you see it running on anything below that, I think there are times when it struggles quite badly. The way that it runs,
I think. Like, and this might be just kind of jumping the gun here a little bit, but like the way that it looks to me kind of speaks to my overall feelings, honestly, which is like kind of unremarkable. Like it doesn't, like the visuals don't really jump out to me. I don't think that the story really jumps out to me too much. I think the new thing, that the hook that they've got, is really interesting, to be able to recruit anybody on there. But I kind of just can't wait to see it, to see maybe the visuals take some sort of leap up so that something is grabbing my attention. Cause right now is kind of like not really, but I think Ryan is a little bit different on this as well.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly thought the game is gorgeous. I mean, I've never been to London at all, so I didn't know how close to reality it was while I was playing it, and it really surprised me when I would stream the game during early access, during the early access period, and I had people from London joining my chat and talking about how much it was like uncannily looked like London and how much they couldn't believe it. Like, that was so cool to be able to, like, visit a city I've never been before through a video game and have it feel as authentic as it did. And I just didn't know it at the time until I'd interacted with people who have been there before and they told me that was the case. But I personally really like the visual touches in this game. Yes, I will agree with Sean on some of the points that some of the buildings look unremarkable, but I also think that's just true to the setting. And for us here in Canada, it's one of those things where a lot of Canadian cities are actually very similar to British cities or British environments. Like here in Ontario, Canada, if you drive around the countryside, it's like driving around the UK countryside. It looks very similar. Yeah. So to us, it's less of an exotic location than something like in Forza Horizon, for example, where we went to Australia, or Watch Dogs 2 even with San Francisco. Like those cities feel very different from what we experience here in Canada. But I actually really like the futuristic look of London. That's really what impressed me about the city design. I thought that was pretty cool. Plus, I love just taking the cargo drone and flying over the city and seeing the large landscapes and seeing the city from like a bird's eye view. I've always thought that was super cool and a lot of fun.
That is cool. That cargo drone, though, is just too slow, isn't it?
A little bit.
I hop on it and think, oh, I could just go anywhere now if I can set aside half an hour to get to work, you know?
Well, it would be too overpowered otherwise, because, I mean, part of the problem with the cargo drone that it presents is many of the objectives want you to basically climb up stairs to fight off a bunch of dudes to get to the top of this building to get your tech points and then complete the objective. Or you can just fly to the top of the building with the cargo drone, not deal with anyone, and then fly away. Like, they don't want you, they want to encourage you not to do that all the time, I think. And that's kind of why it's slow by design. So I don't fault it too much for that. But yes, I mean, quality of life, I would have loved, like, a faster flying vehicle. Like, almost like if you would have been able to hijack one of the counter-terrorist drones.
Or improve it or something along the way. Like, you get an ability or something that, like, further down the game after a while. It does seem like kind of like a Breath of the Wild kind of thing. Like, you can climb anything. It's just, like, you're going to get tired, right? But you were able to enhance your stamina and stuff like that. And then, like, what if you got... Has anybody been struck by lightning on the cargo? Like, that should be a thing. You fly up a little too close, or, you fly up too close to the sun, you burn your wings... I'm not sure, man.
Yeah,
but that was one of my favorite parts of the game too. Yeah,
yeah, it's brilliant. And you know, we have to talk about London because obviously Andrew and I know London very well. I live in London, and Andrew has worked here for a few times, right?
Yeah, I used to come to London like multiple times over the course of a couple of years. So I know it pretty well. So because me and you did a stream, right, Ben, where we were kind of gallivanting around London and looking at all the places that we knew and going, oh, this is pretty close to how it is in real life. And and then going to other places and going, this is not quite as close. Like my partner is a train driver. So my partner is now really into this game because it's in London, and we were going to all the train stations because he's a train driver. And he was like, oh yeah, let's go look at the train stations. And he was just commenting on how they were not quite authentic to real life. And I was like, it is a game. They're not going to do them completely.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what the differences would be. Like, how far off?
Like, well, the first one we went to is St. Pancras Station, and they just have, like, a small lobby area that you can go into. It's, like, one of the first missions that you do. And St. Pancras in real life is this huge, really massive station with multiple floors and, like, loads of shops. And they kind of just cut it back, like, drastically, and it just looks like this very small station. But they've done that. I mean, they kind of have to do that, right? Because they've shrunk London down overall anyway, so they can't make these huge locations as they were. I think the only locations that are probably to scale are things like Buckingham Palace, maybe. Like, the places that people...
I think all the landmarks are there, aren't they? And roughly
the
to scale. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question? I don't know if it's too spoilery, but like the opening, I'm wondering how the opening and the whole like kind of setting hit you guys. Just being like, is it too close to home? Does it hit in a different way? Like where, like you've seen those landmarks and the things that happened to them.
Yeah, it's kind of like in 28 Days Later. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's it was like that, and seeing that happen in London, and just seeing the streets completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
This game hit me like that movie did,
yeah.
Because it's just like, okay, well, this is my home. It's not like watching, L.A. or New York.
White House get exploded by aliens, of course.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that. although not now, not as of today. Please don't.
No. Yeah, it's good. We're good.
We're good.
Yeah, but it is strange seeing that happen in London, particularly with having had terrorist attacks hitting London before.
Right.
It is, it's pretty close. The 7/7 bombings happened like a week before I had my first job interview in London.
God, that gives me chills, man. Holy crap.
And my mum was like, are you really going to go there and get on the tube and go around? And I was like, I was young at the time, and I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Totally,
it's happened.
Totally,
don't worry. But it is strange seeing that. And as Ryan said, though, I love the futuristic depiction of London, though, because it feels like today. Everything's there where it should be, but these little extra twists that just make it kind of this post-terrorist event near future setting. I think they've really nailed that really well.
They have. I think that futuristic setting as well means that you can take a slight step back from...
Yeah,
it as well. So
right
although those,
your door.
Yeah, so those events are kind of like, oh, that's kind of that's shocking. Like Blackfriars gets completely destroyed, and that's a station I go through on a regular basis, which is like but also the Shard is like lit up in neon colours. There's like holograms everywhere, and it's like, okay, well, it's not my London, it's not our London, it's a London of the future, and you can kind of look past it in that case, and you kind of very quickly look past that anyway because of. The various Londoners who espouse very strange and hilarious things as you run around the city.
God.
So,
yeah, that is very that takes me out of it more than any changes in the landscape.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you, because like, the characters are so weird. Okay, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, I clearly don't know. I've never been there, but I'm like, I just don't know about what these people are saying.
Yeah. It's very forced. It's like the developers have just gone, right, can somebody just Google London slang? We're just going to throw this into every sentence that everyone says, regardless of like their ethnicity or background or class, or social status. They all use this London slang. And it's just, and it's completely, it's probably the most jarring thing about the game, wouldn't you say,
Andrew? It was for me, and but I didn't comment it on the Xbox Drive because I don't have a baseline for it. Like, I don't know. Maybe that is exactly what it's like over there. So I'm glad to hear from you guys, because it was jarring for me to hear what the literal words that people were saying, like how they said it and like what they look like. And I'm like, I just don't know about this. Like, maybe I kind of watch more Monty Python, but I don't think this is right.
I kind of felt the same way as you, Sean, too, where I didn't have that basis either. So, I mean, I know people like from England in real life and heard them talk before, and I've heard them use some of the language that was used, but it was never like in the way that it's used exactly in the game. So I also didn't comment that on that in my review for that reason either, because I didn't know how close or how far away it was from the way Londoners actually talk.
Because if we do comment on it, it's like, that is the way it is, then we're just super it's just ignorant.
Rude. I thought Canadians were supposed to be polite. That's exactly. So rude. Yeah, that's true. Although, talking about that, that's the one thing we did notice, Andrew, on the stream the other night, is the amount of times someone says sorry when you run into them, and that is a very English thing to do.
Oh, same. Like, well, you literally just... You.
Yeah, I figured. Definitely, so you just run into someone, they go, oh, sorry. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Like, proper what else are you supposed to say? What else do people say? I don't understand.
Yeah,
that's the Canadian way. That's how we do it.
We are united. I was going to say Canadian. Canada is well represented as well. Was it an embassy or something in there?
Yeah, there's an embassy in there.
Yep, lined up with the Canadian flags. Yeah,
it actually factors into the story too. And I'm not going to give any spoilers, but you actually end up going there and doing things.
So. Well, it was made in Canada. Is it Toronto or is it?
It is Toronto. It was made right here, like maybe like a 20-minute drive from my house. They made it.
Oh wow!
Because Ubisoft's actually pretty close. Because I've been to the studio many times and. Had a lot of fun visits there, but
you got to chat with them last year, right?
I got to talk to Latish, who was one of the leads on the game, and that was a really good interview. I also, at the time last year, it was actually October of last year at a convention here in Toronto, I had a live demo of the game played in front of me with him, and I was actually really on the fence about this game and not really super excited about it. But as soon as I saw him play the demo in front of me and get on the cargo drone for the first time, I'm like, okay, I'm really excited for this game. Yeah. But it was cool to get to talk to the people from the studio. And that's one of the cool things about living in Toronto, and is always getting a chance to go talk to Ubisoft, because they've always been super supportive of our podcast and any of the work that we've been doing. And it's always good to go have a good chat about them, about game designs, and kind of pick their brains a little bit about some of the design decisions for some of these games. And the final product is actually pretty different from what I saw last year. Like, they've definitely took that long delay and really fine-tuned the game in a way that that looks very different from when I first saw them play last year. So
yeah, because you were part of like that original press tour, and then they delayed it significantly just after that, it seems.
Well, Latish, actually, it's funny enough, we had him on an audio interview, and he was telling me that... it'll be out on March 31st or whatever day it was. I can't remember off the top of my head. And you can count on it not being delayed. And literally 3 days after I recorded that interview, it was delayed.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated with when a game is delayed by that much. Mm-hmm. You know, we've just had the Cyberpunk delay again. And it's just like, what is it? I would love to just peek behind the curtain and go,
me too.
Why have you taken that massive commercial decision? You know, to you're releasing this game probably at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Like, it would have garnered so much more attention if it had come out when it was originally due to, right?
And
when
I think it, that... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Gora. Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, what I was going to say is that I think they made it clear as day when they delayed it. I think the reason why it sounds like it was to have it be a next-gen console game. Because if it would have come out in March, they would have... It probably wouldn't have been Ubisoft's big launch game for the new consoles. And maybe at the time they didn't have the plan for Assassin's Creed to come out day and date with the console. and maybe that that changed their decision a little bit. Because in hindsight, when you look at it now, Assassin's Creed's coming day and date with Xbox. So in a way, it almost doesn't make sense to delay it. Watch Dogs to make it a launch title. So I'm guessing at the time that the announcement was made, the timing for Assassin's Creed was was probably going to be much later in the year, like maybe a December release or something like that. And I think that's why they did, because I think they positioned Watch Dogs to be that big next gen Ubisoft title to come day and date, and I think that's definitely why they delayed it. From if you read the delay announcement, and same with Immortals Fenyx Rising falls into that camp too. It was delayed kind of for the same reason, I think.
Yeah,
or COVID. To your point, of the whenever a game is kind of delayed in this way, I always feel like it's somebody, like some tester in the back, like who's never like met any of the executive team, but he discovers something horrible and he prints off the piece of paper, he tears it off, and he's just got to like sprint off and he's pushing people out of the way, like stop it, stop printing the game, like, no! We gotta cancel it. Yeah, that's in my head. I make up stories sometimes, guys.
So what were like the key differences that you saw between that original build then, Ryan, and what you've ended up playing?
So it was actually the combat's about the same, but it was mostly the mission structure more than anything was very different. I mean, in like, we didn't really see the same type of, like, in the original build of the game, most of the missions that we saw were go in and kill all the enemies, and that was the objective, and you could do that however you wanted. And in the final version of the game, there's no missions like that at all. You can't. No. There are options to. There are missions where you have to defend certain points, and kill all the enemies that way. But there was never a mission that was eliminate all of the enemies in a specific area. And that was one of the things that really stuck out in me as very different game design from what the original Watch Dogs or Watch Dogs 2 did. And definitely in the course of,
or even Far Cry or Assassin's Creed, very just like take over the fort or whatever.
Yeah. It was kind of like that. It was very much more reminiscent of those type of games. And also the tower objectives, the liberation objectives in the final game are different than what they were in the original build that I saw, where it was more of that traditional Far Cry style where you would go to a place and basically liberate it by killing all the enemies, for example. So recruitment missions were also a little bit different too. Again, that was only in like one small example that I saw, where the recruitment mission was talk to a couple people and then they just joined your team right away. Like, it was a much faster process. But I think that they probably realized that it was better to actually add some more objectives onto it to kind of give you a reason to bring this person onto, or give that person a reason as to why they're joining DeadSec. I think that changed between the last time I saw the game and then the final release.
That sounds like a good change as well, because I think that is the thing that differentiates this game from anything else I've played, is the whole recruitment structure and being able to, you know, that's the hook, that's what they marketed this as, but the way that they've implemented it is quite clever. So you can, so I recruited someone last night that was anti-DeadSec, which for listeners is the organization that you are a part of in this game. And so you first have to do something to make them not anti-DeadSec. So whether that's, I think I had to go and hack like one of their rivals' emails and like frame their rival, and then suddenly they became neutral when I could talk to them and then do a recruitment mission. But I think it almost feels it's endless in that respect. Do you know, is there a limit to how many people you can recruit? Do you know?
There's 50. That's the limit.
That's pretty big.
Because also, that's the number of people you can tag as well. You can't actually tag any more than 50 individuals, and then that's kind of your squad limit. But the recruitment missions actually reminded me of Assassin's Creed Odyssey's auto-generating side quests, because in that game, there are side quests in the world that will auto-generate as you complete other side quests, and they will auto-generate with text and a little bit of story blurb. And off you go, and it'll give you a random objective, and that's how some of the side quests worked in that game. And that's what the recruitment missions really reminded me of, because it almost, even though I don't believe they were auto-generated, they felt kind of like they were, like in a way. Yeah. Like the tasks you were going for kind of matched the person's motivations that you were trying to recruit. But in a way, it did feel a little bit like that. It did feel a little bit less handcrafted and more like more of an automated thing. And that's kind of how I felt.
Because, like, how could you? How could you handcraft, like, an infinite, like, and really, like, for every single person?
For those every NPC.
Like, that was, like, and I, like, this is, I love Watch Dogs 2. Like, it was one of my favorite games of last gen. I platinumed it. I got, I played all I could of it. This one was not that for me. And I think, like, part of the, and I was talking to Ryan about this, like, I just don't believe that all those people could join DedSec. Like, if it was a little less sophisticated, if it was a little less, like, you just walk down the street and you're like, I'll tell somebody, like, I got the new Xbox. They're like, what are you talking about? And then you go to that same person and go, would you like to join DedSec and hack into stuff and, like, break into things? It's like, and they're up for that? It's like, I'm not.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a tall order for me, unfortunately, on that front. Even though the game itself is, like, super fun and, like, that ability to recruit anybody in the entire world is, like, who's done that before? So it's like,
everyone's
totally
a master hacker.
Thing. Yeah, so it's just like what you're recruiting them to do was just a little too much for me. But I love like the variety of people that you could bring and like swing around some dude's like giant hammer or wrench or whatever it was, like the construction people versus the old ladies, and such variety was so fun. But it was just that act of like, that person's gonna hack a drone or something. It's just
Everyone's just a hacker all of a sudden.
Well, and it needed like a little bit more of the levity that was in the marketing. Like, look how funny this is. This is an old lady. She's kicking the shit out of this dude. And it's like, I think
what I wish they would have
that
done
baked into the game.
What I wish they would have done is you see some characters that you recruit have negative effects. Like, for example, you'll recruit a person who's a drunk, so they actually hiccup all the time and alert guards that way.
That
and I think
so
the
good.
Game just needed more of that. Like, I think it needed more negative effects for some certain squad members, because sometimes you'd recruit someone with four positive skills with no downsides, and it's like, well, okay, why would I never use this person then at that point?
Like, well, that seems like a good good find though. Like, I feel like in a world where you're just trying to like, it seems like you're kind of like looting your players, right? And you're just like, oh, the RNGesus like worked out for me this time. Like, that's the one I want.
Oh, but what I mean is that that was way too common to find that.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
Finding people that were like kind of like the perfect builds of what you were wanting was way too common. In
that's true.
Whereas finding people with downsides was less likely, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll get the occasional person that's like a gambling addict, and they'll just randomly lose money.
Yeah,
you know, just walking down the street.
The recruitment missions are kind of involved though too, right? Like, it'd be kind of a that would kind of suck if you did the whole thing and then you get this person. And it's like, this dude sucks ass. Like, I don't want to play as this person. I just wasted the last whatever it was 20
But you chose them, Sean. You chose them.
You've run a deep profile on them, Sean. You should know exactly who you're getting into bed with.
You're right. You should have done that, but I just click buttons and play the game. Mostly brain dead, to be honest.
Did anybody else find it amazing? Oh, sorry. I was going to say, find it amazing how so many of the recruitment missions were to do with like finding somebody's arrested pal, and you go into the place where they've been taken, and it was just them, nobody else, and they're always being slapped around the face by a guard, and it's like, okay. Like, Albion really likes slapping people. Like, that's their modus operandi. It's like, take them to a quiet location, slap them in the face. Yeah. That's all they do.
Oh, it was so funny, that one on the stream the other night, Andrew, that just before we ended, and there was a guy being held sort of midway up a tall building that had been sort of burnt out, and there was just two Albion guards slapping him, and we had to go and rescue him, and because we played it on SharePlay on PS4.
Nice. Yeah,
my God, that is an amazing.
That is cool.
So
yeah,
that
I feel
feature.
Like nobody talks about that ever.
No, so we were literally. I was playing the game, and then just sharing my screen with Andrew. We were streaming it, and then just I said, "Right, do you want to have a go?" And he's just playing it.
That's the coolest.
It's so cool. But anyway, I distracted myself there. So we had to get up this building, and then what was it? I was trying to jump over to him, and then just fell down. Mm-hmm. There's no like falling animation. I'm just standing, but falling down this building for ages.
Same as getting out of a car as well.
Same, and the guy when I eventually rescued him didn't. There was no AI. Like he was just randomly heading in my direction and just threw himself off the building.
Oh no!
And then just landed, and he was perfectly fine. And it's just is. This game does feel like there's a lot of funny, buggy stuff like that in it. And every time I play it, I see another thing that's just like, ugh. It's quite endearing in a way. You think how much budget was thrown at this for it to still, you know, it's like a like Bethesda games. Where
I
you
was
look
just
going to
say that.
You know, this has taken years of work and God knows how many millions, and yet there's no animation for when you jump out of a car. It's like a 10-year-old game.
Well, you just casually just walk out and just stand up. That's what you do in real life, right?
That is the type of like polish thing that I think that a lot of people talk about. Did you guys ever? There's one mission. I don't even know if it was a main mission or side mission. That you end up on like the roof somewhere and you finish, and it kind of like guides you to like go. You could jump off the roof into the river or whatever, the body of water that's down below. And you do a swan dive. You do an Assassin's Creed swan dive. It does like the eagle call and everything.
Oh, nice.
And
no splash.
No splash. It's like you had it. It's like it was so perfect. And then, yeah, just like this, what the hell happened there? But
complete anti-climax. A nice kind of callback.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was so happy. I was just like ear to ear when that happened. And then...
It's made me laugh more than it should have, I think, this game.
Yeah.
I'm literally just cracking up. Although there are times when it does get frustrating. So the bits where you have to control the spider bot, I think I was trying to break into or out of Scotland Yard, our kind of police headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped on top of, I don't know, a PC or a monitor or something, and I couldn't get off it as a spider bot.
Right.
And I couldn't, there was no way out of the whole mission. I had to end up just quitting the game. And I spent ages pressing every, you know, when you're pressing every button, think, surely there's a way to get out of this.
Trying to like jank it out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. But nothing. And it's just like,
I like doing this thing with the spider bots where I would have like a spot that I wouldn't be able to normally get to, but then I would place my character in a spot that I would use my character's head as a platform, right? So I kind of get like I'm on a step, and then I would jump up onto my own character, and then get up onto like a vent.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Dude. I did that a lot.
It's a great idea.
It sticks. It sticks the landing.
Well, this thing.
Get up there, little buddy.
Kind of. There's multiple ways to do the missions, which is what I quite
like
about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can go in like Andrew. I didn't even realize you could play the game like this. But as soon as I handed control to Andrew the other night, he was just gunning everyone down. Just you know, playing it like you know, like it was a first person shooter almost.
Like the
just,
Division, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Just nice. Mowing through people, and I was like, "What are you doing? I haven't killed anyone yet. You're ruining everything.
Ruining his game completely.
Ramble up in here."
Well, he's going to have a bunch of revenge missions now. You're just going to come back and like half your squad's been kidnapped and you've got to go rescue them all because they're getting slapped around by Albion.
But yeah, it's good. And obviously you can do things in a very stealthy way. And some missions I've done just by just going in as a drone and just doing everything like that. And I love that variety about it. That's really, I think that's the hook that is getting me to come back to this more and more is that.
Yeah.
You can. There is a lot of variety to the missions. Okay, fair enough. Most of them are right. Hack, find the key code, and hack the keypad to get through to the next area. But there's just about enough variety that it's always interesting. And getting back to Ryan's point about the previous build being much more focused on kind of kill rooms and killing all enemies in a certain area, I've literally only just got to a part that has required me to kill anyone at all. And that's in order to escape. I think it was like the end mission of one of the main missions anyway.
Yeah, some of the story missions make you kill at least some people, but it's never, again, never like a traditional kill box, but you do have to kill some people to escape. But yeah, it's really interesting to hear you say this as well, because I kind of talked about it in my review. That was the thing that kind of pushed the game over the top for me was the mission design. I think that and the minute-to-minute gameplay was super fun, and that's what I actually really loved about the game. Like I first of all always play stealth in just about every video game that allows you to do that, and Watch Dogs was no different. I was definitely the type of person that would grab a spider bot and always have that ability with me, so I could do as many missions as I could just as the spider bot, just attached, having it attached to people's faces then electrocute them. Love and that. Then go and interact with all the panels and stuff like that. Like I had a lot of fun doing that, and I think that even though the story itself didn't win me over, the gameplay in Watch Dogs Legion really won me over in a way that Watch Dogs 1 and 2 didn't. I know Sean was a huge fan of Watch Dogs 2, but I just couldn't get into either one of those games, and I don't know what it is about them, but there was something about the special sauce that went into the combat or the gameplay in this game that just really won me over in the end after playing it. Like I could not put it down from the time I picked it up and started playing it, and that was definitely why.
Yeah. No, I'm the same. I'm. This is the only game I want to play at the moment, and I've got, you know, I only recently got a PS4, and I've got so many classic games to work through, and yet I just want to keep coming back to this. And everyone's like, well, you should play God of War. You should play, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn. But I'm just enjoying this too much. And it is kind of like, it's junk foody in a way. It feels like a Hollywood action film as opposed to anything I really need to think too much about. You know, I could, I'm not saying I did, but I could be on a conference call at work whilst playing this game.
Oh yeah, you would never, definitely.
I wouldn't, definitely I wouldn't, obviously, because I'm a professional.
Professional.
But in theory, one could do that if one were that way inclined. Yeah. So I can certainly see all of its flaws, but there's enough that's endearing about it that I forgive that, and I'm very much enjoying it. I don't know, Andrew, where do you kind of fall on that, in that camp?
It's weird because I had absolutely no intention of getting this game whatsoever. I looked at the previews and kind of saw a few bits and I was like, this kind of looks... It looks like a game that I'd pick up when it's like £15, like, you know, $20 kind of area. And I'd be like, yeah, I'll get it and then I'll give it a go. And then when the reviews started coming out and it was showing more of London and, you know, the familiar locations and all that kind of stuff, I was like, okay, I'll give it a go, and just went ahead and bought it on launch day. I was like, yeah, okay. Kind of quickest flip-flop on a game I've ever had, like, from not wanting to play it at all to like, I need to play this now. And I've really enjoyed it. It is not by any stretch of the imagination a great game, but it's a fun game. And I think we talk about the story as well. Yeah, the story isn't great, but the little snippets of story that I have seen and some of the characters, the non-playable characters, are quite cool. Like the detective character that you meet, that you rescue, and things like that, yeah, they're great. Unfortunately, the actual playable characters let it down a little bit, in terms of their voicing and their dialogue. But yeah,
and their appearance as well. Sorry, they're randomized. The randomized appearance. That's the strangest thing for me, is that you can tell that they've just same with maybe the recruitment missions. It's almost like they had just a pool of features just put into a bucket, and then everyone was just randomly, okay, well, let's give this guy ginger hair and a big puffer jacket, and it's just, you know,
an incredibly deep voice.
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry, Ryan, what were you going to say?
So what I was going to say is that, and I don't know if y'all have tried this or not, but if you play the game on a different profile and you start a new game, the characters that you'll meet in some of the story missions that aren't like the main characters will be completely randomized as well. So for example, there's a very early mission in the game where you have to help out a news reporter gather evidence, and I actually played the game once on my own, and it was a male with a beard. And then the second time I played it, it was a female character that I played on a different profile. So I've noticed that throughout the game, if you play it, different people are going to, like, you and I, for example, Ben, might see completely different characters that we interact with throughout the story, but they're still giving the same dialogue. I thought that was super interesting, and I didn't actually know that was a thing until I actually tried it out on stream, and it blew my mind.
Yeah, I've seen that, because, like I said, me and my other half, after watching me play it and touring London's train stations, decided that he'd really like to play it as well, so I saw him do that mission and get a completely different investigative reporter at the beginning. Yeah. But it's because of that as well, all of the voices that you hear then are directed differently as well, so the way they deliver the lines comes across different. I've had people deliver lines that make no sense in the context of the conversation that you're having. It's it can be quite distracting.
What was the example you said, Andrew, about when when you're driving a car too fast?
Oh, so was when you had to deliver something, and so you switched over. It was like a server. It's like one of the early missions, and you had to deliver a server, and you kind of took it in via drone and dropped it off and put it in a truck, and you swapped it over to a different character, and she was meant to say something like, be careful, because it's quite, you know, it's delicate, and instead she started shouting at him like he was already driving and was doing a bad job. It's like, oi, careful with that. And it's like, no, he's not even left yet.
We're not in the car yet, love, calm down. Yeah, it's weird. It's the nicest thing for me is it's just nice to get out in London again. Just be outside.
Sure, yeah,
like, I just go, oh, I know this place. You know, it wasn't bombed when I last saw it, but, you know, that's the only... So the map is pretty huge. It covers most of central London, but the disappointing thing for me is it stops... the point where it stops on the south is like literally the road before my son's school. So I couldn't get to his I was so looking forward to showing him that. Obviously I wouldn't have played the game in front of him because it's a very grown up game. Mm-hmm. But just to see his school, that would have blown his mind, like in a video game. So that's a bit of a shame. But
you're tracking the map, you're running around not realizing like where the end point is. You're like, I'm almost there.
Yeah. No. So it gets to the road and then the map changes to something completely fictional when it kind of loops back on itself, and that's such a shame. But it is strange going around all these locations that you know and just sort of creeping around the rooftops of them, because obviously you wouldn't normally get that view of anything. So you like you just think, oh yeah. Like with Breath of the Wild, you say, oh yeah, I can climb on top of that, or I can, you know, get a cargo drone or shimmy up a lamppost or something, and that's quite cool. Just creeping around at night and hearing owls hooting and drunken people down in the streets. And
it looks so good at night as well. It looks amazing at night.
Yeah,
with fog and the neon, so nice. Yeah.
Just like London, it does look a lot better when you can't see all the rubbish and the chewing gum everywhere.
Helps if you've had a couple of drinks at the bar as well.
Yeah. Which you can blur Vaseline on the lens kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But where, I guess if we want to kind of wrap up then, where would you sit? I feel like this game, as you said, Andrew, it's not great. I don't think we can say it's great. It's got too many issues and it's too kind of derivative to be a great game, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's got that one mechanic, the recruitment thing, that is different.
Yeah.
But I would say it kind of sits about a 7.5, maybe, if I had to give it a rating. Do you think that's fair? Would you go higher, lower?
Mm. It's a weird one, isn't it? Like, another thing to point out as well is that it feels so much like you said, it's like it's an amalgamation of things. It's not. Apart from a couple of its unique mechanics, it is just an amalgamation of all of Ubisoft's other games. It's a little bit of Zombie U, it's a little bit of Assassin's Creed, it's a little bit of The Division. It has a lot of those mechanics in it. It's just all in one, which is great, but then its own personality kind of, because I just, when I'm, you know, like when I'm going in all guns blazing, I'm thinking, hey, I'm in The Division, this is very much mechanically like the Division. And the only things that stand out are its hacking and its recruitment, and I probably agree. Probably about a 7.5, I think, because it's not original enough, and it has too many things wrong with it. If we're ranking it as a London simulator, it'd be much higher. But just as an actual game, it's about 7.
And what about you non-Londoners? What are your kind of final thoughts on it, would you say?
I think that you guys have kind of like wrapped it up really nicely. Like, one of the things that was missing for me that it was in 2 was just like having fun. It did seem like, you know, there was such a core mission to this, that you're going out to recruit these people so that you could join DedSec, so that you could beat the bad guys. But like the DedSec is kind of like, it's almost like punk rock a little bit, and it felt like the punk rock was missing a little bit. Like, let's go like just mess things up just for the sake of it, and just go like I don't know, just play around. Even like some of the delivery missions, which is kind of like a side, like totally optional kind of thing, felt like work. It felt like you're delivering something from point A to point B, and there wasn't nearly as much of like the go around with like the whatever, like the kart racing that they had in the first one, and all the different just fun stuff. I feel like that was kind of missing. So it was very serious. Like, it was oddly serious for a Watch Dogs, and I know like the maybe it just goes with the fact that, you know, London is under attack in a way that San Francisco wasn't really. It was almost like this hidden conspiracy that maybe this tech giant was going to be after people, but like, it was very overt in the way that the bad guys were after London, and then, you know, with the private army coming in afterwards. It was just different. So it seemed more serious, and I wanted more levity out of my Watch Dogs. But everything you guys have said, I completely agree with. Super fun, and I want to get back to playing more of it. I got a little sidetracked with a couple other things in this past week, but fun. But yeah, not a masterpiece, which I guess is not a terrible thing to say about a game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And kind of where I sit on this, John, is actually, first of all, you guys all made great points, and I feel a lot of the same way, even though in my review I talked about how I think it's one of the best games I've played this year. That's from me speaking personally for my own personal enjoyment. If I'm evaluating it critically, I would probably feel the same way about it as you guys kind of alluded to, where I do think that the story definitely falls short with the game. And the overall vibe, kind of what Sean's alluding to as well, it has like an odd, like the series vibe, I guess, kind of conflicts with the gameplay in ways I wasn't really expecting, and that's I think most of the reason why I didn't really get into the story too much. But man, that game was just so much fun to play. Like, again, I loved my time with it, and it took all the things I love about Ubisoft open world games, and then, as you kind of alluded to, put them into a blender, and it kind of gave you all of them in this really nice package. I would say that if I was going to evaluate it critically and assign a number score to it, I would say probably 7.5-8 range. That's probably where I would leave it. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we're all not that far, even though I was praising the game much more than Sean was when we first talked about it. But I think critically, we all kind of feel the same way about it, I think.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, it seems like we're all in agreement. And I think it's probably fair to say Watch Dogs Legion is great fun, but not necessarily a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely worth playing, though. I think it is still a lot of fun, and I definitely think it's a good pickup. Even if it's not something you pick up right away, I do think that it's pretty fun and definitely worth your time for sure.
Yeah, wait 2 weeks and get it for £15.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Black Friday is coming up here in North America, so it's going to be on sale soon. So
is that a thing? Is that a thing for you guys? You get sales?
Yeah, we've inherited that as well in recent years.
Yeah. It wasn't originally ours. Well. Yeah. Day after Christmas was usually our day. You're like, I didn't get what I wanted. Good thing everything's on sale on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So,
that was kind of our mentality.
Yeah.
But now we look forward to it like everyone else and just spend money.
Spend.
Yeah. So, yeah. And this game will almost definitely be on sale for at least half price by Black Friday.
I think so too. Yeah.
It's a bet. Yeah,
worth keeping an eye out on the DLC as well, the season pass, because you get the original game in the season pass. So if you haven't got the original Watch Dogs Complete Edition, if you buy the season pass, it comes with it. So maybe when that goes on sale, that's an interesting thing to do too.
Yep, and none of the season pass content, just for clarification, was available for us to test. I mean, it's included. It was included with our codes, but none of it was available at the time of our testing. So I don't actually know anything about the season pass stuff yet, but I think it's not even coming out until next year. But the one thing you did get right away was what you alluded to, was Watch Dogs Complete Edition. If you buy the season pass, you get it basically instantly, since it's not a re-release like Far Cry 3 was with Far Cry 5 a couple years ago.
Yeah,
we've got multiplayer co-op to come as well, haven't we, in December? That's
true.
Something we don't have yet.
So I think that's going to really shake things up. That might really totally, like, because it's a playground. Like, who doesn't want to go in a sandbox type of game like that, with just like, we just run around and wreck shit.
Yeah.
Looking forward to going back to it with you, Ben, and shooting things up together.
Yeah.
No shooting.
Okay. Ryan and I'll be the same thing. Ryan will be all stealthy and I'll be like, bang, bang, bang.
What are you doing, Sean? Well, I don't want these
Sean
people
and
to
Andrew,
kidnap
you,
guys.
You play together and me and Ryan will have a nice civilized game together, okay?
I'm the person who, like, in games and in real life, the more quiet I'm trying to be, if I'm trying to be stealthy, I'll be like, I will just more slowly knock the vase over. Instead of it being fast, it'll just be like, and slowly but surely.
Oh, it's
Sean's literally the hiccuping person from the game that alerts the guards.
I really am. And my wife can attest to this as well too, as I try to like quietly crawl into bed and like slam the door accidentally, or I'm like, I'm really trying to be, but I can't see anything. I'm trying to be quiet. Wake her up with a slam door and I don't even know I'm stepping on stuff and I'm tripping over things. It's like classic like slapstick kind of humor, but it's funny.
Embody it. Yeah. Let your mind speak. I never put no colors on my timepiece. I told you niggas cut me out the grand beef. And now you got me fucking up some gram neats. Salah running up your gums, man. I'll double back and then I go and double up my funds. And when you finish sucking all your mums, I do another quarter mil and get another number when it's like, I'm getting bored of you boys. Flex on them, looking like the old of my boys. Big Mac, I was making all of the noise. And the big fur jacket, that's the food to your boy. They rate me, that's so blatant. When it's all the future, I'm that's so raving. Whenever they say my name, I take a payment. Even when I make it rain, I make a statement. Let the rain fall on my enemies. Fall on my enemies. Let the rain fall on my enemies.